Hello and welcome to the STEM Untapped podcast. I'm Izzy, your host, and I'm joined by my co-host, Caitlin. This episode, we're interviewing Emilia Giglio. When we recorded this interview, Emilia was studying for her PhD in structural biology and catalysis at the University of York. Emilia has since finished her PhD, become a doctor, and is now a postdoctoral fellow in America.
So, Caitlin, could you tell Emilia why you chose to interview her and what subjects you're studying, please?
Because I'm really, really interested in biology and I've been looking at pursuing a career in biology. And I've been really struggling to decide on what section, I guess, because there's so many different kinds of biology. So I'm really trying to broaden my horizons and knowledge.
Hi, so I'm Emilia. And I'm a PhD student at the University of York, and I study structural biology and biocatalysis. They'll often fund a few PhDs because it's a good way to get kind of research which they wouldn't do in one of their plants because it's not directly related to making a medicine. It's just kind of a bit more kind of discovery focused. So it's a good way to kind of get that research done.
Can you define, or can you tell us, what is biocatalysis?
Biocatalysis is being able to catalyze a reaction in a more environmentally friendly way. So by using an enzyme, for example, rather than a chemical catalyst. And this is because chemical catalysts can be quite unsustainable, whereas using an enzyme can be slightly more sustainable, more environmentally friendly from energy perspectives and also from resource perspectives as well. It doesn't just have to be about using an enzyme though. It could also just be about the types of solvents that you're using, the other ways that you're making it more environmentally friendly.
Is there a trend towards your line of work becoming more environmentally friendly?
Yeah, I think so, just because everyone's trying to become a bit more environmentally friendly these days. And as more enzymes are being used in industrial processes, they're realizing more and more that it can actually be applied. And they're learning more as well to be able to then apply this to more and more processes. So it is now becoming a bit more favorable.
Why did you choose to study structural biology as a PhD?
So it's something I kind of fell into. I started off at undergraduate doing a chemistry degree. And in York, we have a structural biology department, which is part of the chemistry department. So in my final year, I was doing an integrated master's course. And this meant I had to do an extended research project. And I decided to do mine, or I was selected to do mine in the structural biology department. So I kind of fell into doing that master's project and found that I really enjoyed the structural biology and wanted to pursue that further, so I decided to do a PhD in that.
Sorry, can I ask, Caitlin, is that what you expected to hear, that Emilia started in chemistry?
No, not really. I thought that a biology career would be biology, studying undergrad, and then going straight into a biology-based PhD. But to hear that there's loads of different routes is really exciting.
Is it quite common, Emilia, for people to move between the different departments?
Definitely. I think there's, in our department, we have a whole mixture of people coming from maybe biochem backgrounds, chemistry backgrounds. And then if you move out of YSBL, so basically the YSBL department is within the biology block, even though we're technically part of the chemistry department.
What is YSBL?
So the York Structural Biology Lab. So even though we're part of a chemistry department, we're actually in the biology block. So there's a lot of kind of collaboration between biology groups, and then sometimes we go across to chemistry and do work over there as well. And so people have come from all sorts of backgrounds, and you don't really need to have come from a straight biology background at all. You can really have come from any kind of pathway.
Why did you choose to study a PhD over going into a career?
So it was kind of at the end of my undergraduate, so in that final year, I was kind of looking at my options and I just didn't really know what I wanted to do, to be honest. I started off looking at kind of grad schemes and other kind of science jobs. I knew that I wanted to kind of stay within a lab setting because I'd enjoyed the lab parts of my master's year. And I was kind of looking around at my options. And it was only really when the person that was supervising me during my master's project suggested that I start looking at a few different PhDs that I really kind of considered it. It wasn't something that I'd known that I wanted to go into. And so then I started looking at a few different projects and found a few that I thought looked really interesting, and I eventually applied to them. So I was actually quite late applying to do a PhD. I kind of applied during March and April, whereas some people might start applying in September of the final year of your undergrad. But it was kind of something I fell into, I guess, after finding out I really enjoyed the work that I was doing in my master's.
How did you choose to study chemistry? Was it just something you knew, or was it something you spent a lot of time deciding?
I did spend a while trying to think what I wanted to do. So I kind of initially started off thinking maybe I'll do like astrophysics, and I did physics at A level, but I actually dropped it after AS level because I just didn't like how mathematical some areas of it were and I wasn't enjoying that quite so much. So after I'd kind of decided that astrophysics wasn't really for me, I then started thinking maybe like earth sciences was something I wanted to do. And I went on like some taster days for university courses for earth sciences and then decided that that wasn't really for me either. So then I kind of started thinking maybe more kind of like medicinal chemistry, biological chemistry. So I did some taster days for that, and I really enjoyed those kind of biological chemistry taster days. However, I was worried about like narrowing down kind of the options by doing like a biological chemistry degree. Although it's probably something I shouldn't have worried about in hindsight. At the time, I didn't want to close off options by only doing like a biological chemistry degree. So I decided to do like a broader just chemistry overall degree. Instead, and that's kind of how I ended up applying to chemistry degrees. But yeah, I was kind of doing a lot of taster days that I found really helpful. So I kind of booked onto a lot of those during like the summer holidays or kind of in the summer term of school. And one day I traveled to King's College, I think, and I did a taster day in medicinal chemistry there, which was really interesting.
I was thinking of applying to York University for biological sciences. I haven't had the chance to attend an open day. Have you studied there for your whole university education?
Yeah, I really like York. That's why I stayed for my PhD. I really like the campus, and the support I think is really good there. Like the supervisors that I've had have always been really helpful, really supportive. And the course, I know it is a different course, but I think it was just... So yeah, I definitely recommend York. Obviously, I don't know what you're looking for in your university, but I've enjoyed my time there and I think it's a great university to study at. Yeah.
Do you think you'll try and stay and work in York, or do you think you might go elsewhere?
I think having stayed in York for 8 years, I do want to try and move elsewhere, just because I know that having stayed somewhere for so long, it can be kind of perceived as, when you're in your career, if you just stay somewhere too long, it can kind of be perceived as you're kind of maybe stagnating there. I don't know if that's a good way to phrase it. So I want to have kind of moved on just to show that I can work in different environments, and also just for myself, because I know I get too kind of happy in one place and I need to push myself outside of the comfort zone really and move somewhere else. But it would be somewhere that I'd love to come back to and live in York. I like the city as well. I think it's a great place.
How have your career goals changed over time?
They definitely have. I think at each step I've kind of not known what I wanted to do, and then things have kind of worked out and I've ended up in this PhD, for example. And at the start of the PhD, I would have thought that I would want to continue staying in academia and maybe go on to doing a postdoc. Now I'm kind of thinking maybe I could go into an industrial role instead, where I'm still using all my science skills, but it's for a company rather than in a university. So yeah, I have kind of changed where I thought my future would be going, although I'm still kind of using those lab skills that I've enjoyed throughout.
What does your day-to-day life entail as a PhD student studying structural biology?
So my day-to-day life can be quite varied. When I was starting my PhD, I spent a lot of time in the lab. So I would kind of wake up and go into the lab for around 9, spend most of my day either planning experiments at my desk or running experiments in the lab, having a coffee break with other people in the lab. And it would kind of be like that. I'd go home maybe around 5 and then spend the evening maybe doing some kind of social activities. But now that I'm coming to the end of my degree, I'm spending a lot more time starting to think about writing my thesis, presenting my work either at conferences abroad, so maybe spending time to make posters or presentations for that. So it has varied over time, although I'm still sometimes going into the lab to do little jobs.
I read your bio and it says that you use enzymes in an environmentally friendly way of forming chemical bonds to make drug molecules. Are biocatalysts not environmentally friendly?
So biocatalysts are generally enzymes, and enzymes, we can make them in a more environmentally friendly way. So rather than using a catalyst like a metal that you can use often, these need to be mined from the earth, and this can be kind of unsustainable because we're using up the earth's resources and also all the energy that needs to go into getting that catalyst into a state that we can use it in a reaction. It can be quite energy intensive. Whereas we can use these enzymes, which kind of only need aqueous surroundings. They can work at room temperature as well, so they don't need very much energy. And so that makes them a bit more environmentally friendly than using a chemical catalyst.
What do you enjoy or not enjoy about your PhD?
So I enjoy The variety. I enjoy being able to go into the lab and try things out. And then I enjoy being able to get really exciting results sometimes. Something I really like about my PhD is that I do some enzyme crystallization. So this means that I will make crystals of the protein that I'm working on, and we send it to a big synchrotron down in Oxford. And what comes back is a crystal diffraction pattern, which I can turn into my protein structure. And so I can see literally all the atoms in my protein and figure out what is going on in the protein when I do my reactions. And I love to be able to actually see that structure. So that's like my kind of highlight of the work that I do. Of course, yeah, it's not always like that. And sometimes things, maybe experiments don't work and there may be some low points there. But I think it's really, yeah, there's a lot of highs and lows as you're going for your PhD.
Caitlin, so I was kind of expecting Amelia to talk more about kind of numbers rather than how you've described it there, Amelia, as like imagery. Is that what you were thinking you'd hear, Caitlin?
When I did a lab tour with Welsh Water, it was very much based on statistics and numbers and all the data that they collected. So it was really refreshing to hear about the actual processes. It did put me off a bit hearing so much about data, but to hear more about the exciting side of processes and the love for it, I really, yeah.
So yeah, I think there are a lot of numbers which do go into the back of what I'm doing there, but often a lot of the software can process that for me. So I may not have to deal with those numbers or the physics behind what's going on up front. I can get the software to do that, and then I can look at the results from, yeah, less of a mathematical perspective and think more with my biology brain instead of the math side of my brain to look into that.
What about female colleagues studying the PhD with you? Are there many female colleagues?
In our department, we have quite a lot of other female students, and this isn't always the case. So I think at chemistry undergrad, we tended to have about maybe a 50-50 split of kind of female to male kind of students. And often that does kind of tail off as you get to higher and higher levels. So doing a PhD and then maybe doing a postdoc or going up those levels. Within WSBR, we actually have a lot of other female students. Within the chemistry department as a whole, there's probably a slightly lower proportion of females to males. But the University of York's actually pretty good for this because we have something called an Athena Swan Award, which means that the university and the Department of Chemistry in particular is really passionate about trying to promote and champion equality and diversity and make sure that there is that equality and that females aren't being left behind.
Do you think your gender has ever impacted your opportunities?
So I think it is difficult to say because I don't know what path I could have been down otherwise. And I think I've been lucky in that there have been a lot of courses emphasising maybe putting women in science. So I know I did some courses promoting women in physics when I was doing my A-levels in physics. And so that was a really good opportunity, and it was quite nice in that situation to be a woman in science.
Have you ever struggled with finding a work-life balance?
I think that's something that can be quite tricky when you're doing a PhD, because you kind of are working on your own and focusing on your own work, and you don't have to conform to any kind of 9-to-5 schedule if you don't want to. You can kind of come in much more flexibly. So trying to give myself quite strict boundaries is the way that I can get that work-life balance. So I try to work to a 9-to-5 kind of day and make sure that I have social activities planned in some evenings so that I have to go and kind of do something which isn't work-focused to take my mind off it. But of course, there are times when you have to work a bit later or pop in at the weekend to do some work. It's mainly just because you really enjoy the work that you are doing and you want to just get it a bit further along, so you end up spending a bit more time on it. But yeah, it is always good to remember that you need to have enough rest to be able to focus on your work well. So yeah, it's important to get that balance.
Caitlin, do you find it easy to balance schoolwork and social life and time for yourself?
I find it really hard to balance my work life. So I'll either give myself too much free time and I'll spend too much time doing the things I enjoy in my spare time, or I'll spend too much time working. And once I get on the roll of work, I won't stop. And then suddenly I'm burnt out and I don't want to do any more work. And I can't find a strict balance.
I recognise that in me. I'm definitely kind of like all or nothing. And then Amelia, do you have any advice for that? I mean, for me too. Do you have any advice for how to deal with that sort of thing?
I like to kind of arrange my plans in my diary, and I don't know if maybe that helps if I even have my social plans in my diary so that I know that I have that time blocked out to chill or, you know, spend time with friends or do an activity, and then also my work plans as well, so that I kind of block things into time gaps, and I have to do it within that time, or not to put pressure on myself, just so that I know that I can't just keep working away until I've burnt myself out. It's just kind of giving myself those limits.
Do you have any advice to your teenage self?
I would say maybe to be more confident in doing the things that you're passionate about and you want to kind of follow and achieve. Because I know that something that I've always struggled with is maybe having that confidence to push myself into situations which would then help me develop.
So can you recommend any resources for anyone who's interested in learning more about what you do? So you actually talked about biology and chemistry and biochem. Are there any good books or podcasts or TV shows or anything else that you'd recommend people have a look at?
I know that as I was going through maybe my undergrad, I often would read, I think it was called, is it Chemistry Review? There's a magazine called Chemistry Review that I know I read maybe during A-levels. And there was another magazine from the Royal Society of Chemistry, which kind of shows like advances in chemistry.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the STEM Untapped podcast. If you liked this episode, you can subscribe for free on your podcast app. You can also find more from us on Instagram at STEM Untapped and our website untappedinnovation.com/STEM-untapped. See you next time.